Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. And I'm very happy New Year's in 2024. Week 18 of the NFL season. I don't know how we're here so fast. I feel like it flew by. It's already the final week, but yeah, kind of crazy how fast it goes. But we are without Chrissy tonight. She is actually in Disney World in Florida enjoying time with her family. So
great problem to have,
but yeah,
great problem.
Yeah, we don't feel bad for her on vacation, so
at all. It's freezing here.
Yes, I know it's freezing. So, I'm your host, Lexi.
What's up, y'all? I'm Jody. So we're just gonna go ahead and kind of get into last week. So week 17, I can't believe, like you said, that is already happening. We are already here. And of course, the NFL schedules the Chiefs and the Bengals for week 17. And I'm sure they did that with hopes of wondering how playoff seeding was going to go, thinking that this game was going to have huge implications. And it didn't. So what are your thoughts on the Bengals game?
I mean, yeah, like you said, it was probably scheduled that way in hopes that it would be a really great game. And actually, I mean, it was a pretty good game. I would say pretty competitive, at least till the second half, right? And then we pretty much just shut them out. But they always play us well. You know, they wanted to make it harder for us to reach the playoffs, of course. But we actually ended their playoff hopes altogether, so.
It was so great. Well, because there were a lot of things on the line for us this week, right? Like, if we lost, we wouldn't have clinched the division.
Yeah.
Something that we should have did a long time ago.
And right.
Luckily, we were able to figure out a way to pull that off. Because, yeah, I mean, they talked a lot of crap going into this game. So it was great to see that we could finally overcome the issues that we have been having as a team. So let's kind of get into the offense. Well, I have thoughts about the offense.
Always.
I have thoughts about the offense. So what? I said I have thoughts about the offense.
Oh, yeah.
What are yours?
I mean, I feel like, okay, our offense is what it is at this point. I do feel like they went kind of back to the basics a little bit. We looked really, really good that first drive we had, which seems to be like a trend this season. Like we tend to, like in some of these games, we go out really strong in the first drive. And then the next drive, it's like, oh yeah, actually that's what the Chiefs are. Because the next drive we have a fumble that like leads them to a touchdown right away. Right. So that's pretty frustrating for just, I don't know. But I feel like overall our offense looked like much better, much more disciplined than the last few weeks. We really went down on penalties, just looking a lot better overall. I will say the red zone is quite frustrating. Now, give all the flowers to Harrison Butker, because that man kicked 6 field goals, won me my fantasy championship. Just a fantastic kicker. I understand why Andy Reid kept wanting to go back to him, because he did do so unbelievably well. I mean,
but you got to go for fourth down at least one time.
At least once.
Especially when it's like fourth and two or fourth and one, and you're literally bringing Harrison Butker out there. Like, we went to the red zone 6 times. well, more than six. We went to the red zone seven times. We scored one time. Harrison scored six. We didn't try to go for a touchdown at all.
Not at
especially
all.
Especially when your defense is playing at an elite level. You know they're going to get you the ball back. And you don't trust your offense at least once to go after. So that was a little – I didn't like that. I hated that.
I agree. And it was actually like – there was so many like fourth and one and fourth and twos. I was like, really? We're not just going to go for it at all? Like, especially with the way
our – you have Isaiah Pacheco?
Yeah.
When you have Isaiah Pacheco, who is having the type of year that he's having, and he came out of this concussion protocol, whatever it was, because he doesn't seem like he was concussed at all. And I will say his helmet stayed on the whole entire game.
Thank God. Thank
but when you have Isaiah Pacheco and you're not going for at least a fourth and two or a fourth and three, and he was averaging 5 yards every single carry, it's like, come on. Like, come on. Have a little bit more faith in your offense. Because I definitely was like, there's no way Harrison's going to make all six of these, right? Like, I kept turning after, like, the fourth one. I was like, okay, I can't watch anymore.
I know. I was like, there's no way. And then I was like, okay, he's just going
to. I will say, though, one thing I noticed, I feel like this team does better when the defense starts the game and not the offense. I feel like whenever you win or lose the coin toss and the offense goes out there first.
Yes.
It's like, but when the defense goes out there first, I'm like, all right. And the defense went out there, I got a three and out. And I was like, there we go.
I have the same theory. Yes. I think the same way about this season in particular. I'm like, if it's Harrison Butker kicking off the game, I'm like, thank God. Like,
praise God.
Yeah.
Bless.
Give us
okay,
the ball.
Right. So I didn't realize until I finally got home and had like a second to sit down that Rashee Rice is trending to getting ready to have his first 1,000-yard season as a rookie receiver.
He's so close. Yeah.
Also not realizing that Puka Nacua is about to have a 1,500-yard season. Yeah, I think that is crazy for these two rookies to come out here and have this type of performance. But it's great to see they're finally putting trust in Rashee Rice. And they're finally giving him some of what those MVS plays would be. And you see that he's fully executing on that. What are your Rashee Rice thoughts?
Yeah, so what did he – he went – let's see. It was – oh, yeah. So 127 yards and 5 catches, 6 targets.
Right.
So he only missed one. And it was really just a miscommunication on the O-line was actually what it was. So that wasn't even really on him or Pat. It was just poor execution on that. But I'm just so, so impressed with what we've seen from him so far. I think we all had like high expectations, but it was kind of tempered with how Sky did his first year. I think we were like, okay, let's just see how it goes. Like, we're not going to expect 1,000 yards out of him. I think we thought maybe 500 or 600 at best, right? Like, that was kind of our expectations for him as a rookie.
Yeah, I think before the season started, I said like maybe 500 or 600 yards. It's definitely not double. Definitely not double for where he's at right now. But when you have other receivers that are producing and you only have one receiver that's producing, And you're exactly right. So DG, he says he ran the wrong route and it was the biggest gain of the day. So to know the Chiefs is to know that most receivers, when they don't run their correct route or when they improvise or when they see that something is not going the way as expected, they know and trust that Patrick is going to get them the ball. Travis is so freaking good because Travis has to play off script all the time, which is why he's only 16 yards from 1,000 this season. So I'm glad that – my question is this. How did Rashee Rice catch on so quickly to that's what you're supposed to do and these other receivers have not caught on to that yet?
That's my biggest question, too, and I think it kind of just speaks to the player that he is.
Yeah.
I think he's a really special player. I think he's going to do big things on our team. This is what we're getting out of year one. Like, I can't wait to see what else happens. So I think we got really – I want to say Veach and his crew did really good on that draft pick. I think they botched it a bit on Sky, as we all know.
And that's okay. It happened.
Right, yeah, the game is slowing down for him. He's, you know, I think Rashee is starting to see that, Patrick can extend those plays. If I can figure out a way to get open for him, he's going to make the play happen. And I think that comes with time for a rookie. Now, why guys like MVS don't have that, I don't know.
Not even MVS, though. Like, you have guys like Kadarius Toney who are supposed to be this great gadget, shifty, fast dude. And he's supposed to be able to go out there and do all these things. And we really haven't seen that much production out
of
him. He
has his moments, but it's not consistent enough to like be excited about it. Like Kadarius has moments where you're like, oh, that was fantastic. If you can just do that five more times, but then
exactly.
It's like, so
he's either gonna tweak something, snap something, roll something, drop the ball. It's like there's too many things that are exactly. There's too many things that can, I guess, bring down his game or bring down his. You're like, there's no reason we're so worried about all of the negative things that could happen with him being out on the field. I do want to say though, I was happy we did see a few more Noah Gray snaps.
Yeah, right.
Now, if we can get him some targets, that would be great. But Noah Gray did go 3 for 17. I mean, he was on the field. That's been better than what we've seen through 17 weeks. So I'll take that for sure. Noah Gray. I'm sorry. That's not who I meant. Justin Watson, 1 for 41. Why are we only throwing him? Have we noticed that every game, Justin Watson or Noah
Gray, one big catch.
One big catch, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I know. I was going to comment on that a little bit and say, like, what we've seen our offense become and develop into this year is basically zero hope for MVS and Sky. That's like over with. Kelsey is getting double and triple teamed on pretty much every play, unless it's like a design screen or something like that at this point. Now, defenses are going to get burned if it's
by. He still had a big drive.
He did. And if defenses are going to get burned by anyone right now, it's going to be Rashi Rice, because they're paying so much attention to Kelsey that he is sometimes able to get open now. Rashi Rice. And then, like you said, like the one or two to Justin Watson, the one or two big plays over the middle.
But that's the thing. Take some of the heat off of Kelsey and put somebody like a Richie. Richie James. He has been a lot
he's
more
a little better. Yeah, he's getting some more stuff.
Now, granted, he only had one target this last week.
And I know.
What the heck is going on there? So I don't know if that was like a precautionary thing or an injury thing or whatever. But if you could have someone like Rashi Rice and a Justin Watson and a Noah Gray and a Travis Kelce on the field at the same time, you feel like that squad right there would be enough to alleviate some of that stress off of Trav.
Yeah.
To where they're going to be like, you know what? I know Noah Gray isn't that dude, but every time he's out here, he only has one drop on the season, right?
Right.
But I wanted to say about Travis, have you noticed he has one big drop every game?
Yeah, I have.
Like, it's trending that way, and you've never, like, thought or said that about Travis before. But the last few weeks, he's had either a huge drop or a touchdown drop.
It's almost like he's in his head too much or something, too.
Well, he probably is, because that's what Travis does. We've seen that from him years over years, so that's not like a this year thing. We know that Travis can get in his head, and it's hard for him to get out of it. So,
I mean, as much as football is physical, it's very mental too. And I feel like when these guys get out of their own heads, that's when they do big things. But I feel like Travis, for some reason, this game couldn't really get out of his own head, and that's why I don't feel like we saw a ton from him after that drop. He kind of got in his head.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I know Jenna commented about MVS. That was really frustrating to see him immediately back in the game.
I don't even want to talk about MVS.
Right after this drop. I don't think anyone understands why he's getting this many snaps anymore. I was listening to our friends on Chiefs Concern, Jason Dunn. He was talking like how MVS is doing a great job of blocking. Like, if you watch, he is doing a phenomenal job as a blocking receiver. But that's not your job. You're not a tight end.
It's not your job.
You were like, you're being paid $11 million, and it's just not worth it.
It is not your job.
So it's just, I don't know.
Noah Gray out there to block somebody.
Exactly.
Justin Watson out
anyone.
There to block
somebody.
Put the belldozer out there to block somebody. That is not
you. You're there to, like,
literally not drop the ball.
I don't know. It's just,
but let's go ahead and get into MVS, because there's been a lot of controversy around. First of all, there's been a lot of controversy around him the whole entire season, right? So I guess this isn't new, but been listening to a few different sports radios over the last 24 hours. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about MVS and how he dropped the ball, but then he made a gesture trying to come in for Pat like he didn't throw the ball accurately. So not only was MVS not being covered and dropped the ball, but what are your thoughts about the speculation of him possibly trying to call Pat out for his accuracy?
Okay, so when I initially watched that, I thought he was getting on himself for being like, oh no, you gotta catch it. That was my initial reaction to it. Then I saw people all over.
So now he cares about catching the ball.
Uh-huh. Everyone all over the internet was like, oh no, that was him like telling Pat where to place it. And I was like, oh yeah, okay.
And you were by yourself. Like,
he was wide open. You have to make that
wide open.
Like, Patrick was getting pummeled in the pocket. He was falling over as he's throwing it. You gotta make that.
Or you need to come back and get the ball. And that's something we yell at Sky Moore about all the time, right? If Patrick is throwing the ball short, you need to come up and get the ball. He's throwing it short because he doesn't want you to get an interception.
I feel like that's where at least like guys like DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle at least understood that and would come back for the ball. I know. What could have
I been? Can't believe he's having such a great season in LA.
I started him in my fantasy championship and that guy got me like 16 points.
He's turned into a baller, not even overnight. Just shout out to D-Rob. Shout out to D-Rob for sure. But no, I'm with you. I don't understand the whole MVS thing. And I think there was a lot of frustration there, right? Pat, the O-line still, they were a lot better this week than they were the week prior. But, you know, there's still some opportunity on that O-line. They were not 100% perfect. Pat did have a few throws this game that were kind of like, eh, all right, Pat, you could have threw that better. You should have been better at that. But the one that MVS, even if it was short, whatever, like, there's no reason that you're not coming back and you're not getting the ball. And the ball touched your hands and you still dropped it. And the elements were not that bad Sunday, Monday, whatever. The elements were not that bad for you, for you to not have it. It's not like there was a defender over you and there should have been a DPI. Like, no. So I know a lot of people have been saying it, and I fully agree. Well, I think I've been saying it, though. I don't want to see MVS. I don't want to see him anymore. And he should have been benched immediately. And I hate that they came out of halftime and went right back to him.
It's like they're trying to build his confidence, and then he still failed us, right?
Why are we still building confidence?
I don't know. He's shown you who he is. Believe him.
He's shown you. But so do you think that they – so what are your thoughts about Mecole Hardman only having like 5 total snaps?
I didn't even see him.
Like, is he hurt? I didn't even see him either.
No, I think they're probably just being cautious. Like, we didn't really need him. So why put him
out there? We didn't really need him against the Bengals out of all teams?
I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. I'm not sure, like, if he's still that hurt and if it's, like, not worth the risk. Or it was just on a good flow with how Isaiah Pacheco is rolling. And because, I mean, Pacheco came off of an injury and a concussion, which I think was probably a really mild concussion.
If it was a concussion at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't a concussion. He had a little headache.
Yeah, but it really was Pacheco's game to lose, right? Like, he was just all over the place. He had, what did he have? 130 yards rushing on 18 attempts, and then he had 35 yards catching and a touchdown. I mean,
165 is nuts.
Dude, like,
165 is nuts. Like, but I think that
rolling works.
I was listening to something earlier, and it was talking about all the great teams right now in the NFL. So if you were to sit down and you were to think about what teams are very good right now, right? The Ravens are very good right now. The Niners are very good right now. And what are the two things? What's the one thing with those two teams that are keeping those teams afloat and keeping them so dominant? It's their running backs. Their run game has been crazy. So I think that we're learning that our formula with Isaiah Pacheco is where it's at. It's definitely taking some of that pressure off of the O-line, taking some of that pressure off of Pat too. And it's kind of opening the game up a little bit more for them. And Pop wants it. You literally see him wanting the ball every single snap. If it was up to him, he would have the ball every single snap. So I do think that they're finding that identity of, okay, maybe we should be a running team. And we see what happens. When you run the ball, you get 165 yards from Isaiah Pacheco. So.
And especially this season. I mean, like, you're not getting the wide receiver production you need this season. So just – I know we have the best quarterback in the league. We all know it. He's proved himself every single year. Put it on Isaiah a little bit, you know? I mean, God willing, we make the Super Bowl. He could be the Super Bowl MVP if we made it that far, you know? Like,
I'm all that. I'm super shocked that CEH ended up being inactive.
I was too. I was bummed.
Was he hurt?
No, he was sick all week, and then he showed up at the facility, so everyone's like, oh, he's going to play, and then...
But he was sick before, too. But he had been sick. He had been battling with
a lot. I don't know.
And yeah, so I think for me,
it reminds me of Frank Clark. They're like always sick, and I don't know why.
Like randomly. So I'm just like, what do we think this offense is going to look like when we do have Isaiah Pacheco and CEH? Do you think that they're going to figure out how to both have a rhythm with them both out there at the same time? Since what it looks like is over the last few weeks, Isaiah Pacheco, when he's like the main running back, dominant, killing it.
Yeah.
CEH, when he's the main running back, dominant, killing it. So what's it going to be like when we have them both at the same time? Are they going to both be able to keep the rhythm going? Yeah.
I think it's going to be productive, actually. I mean, I really want to see them, the two of them together. And I think we'll probably save that for the playoffs to, like, see really both of them. So,
sure.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to be the perfect, like, 1-2 kind of bounce duo that we need.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that quite from Clyde at the beginning of the season. And then we, you know, but then he really came into his own at the end here. So I really just hope, I think he wants it bad. I think they both want it bad. I think they both.
Yeah.
Have a lot of pride in their position, and they're such good friends too, and their vibe.
I mean, they're the offense right now.
Yeah.
They are the full offense right now.
Yeah.
Not the receivers, not the tight ends. It's the running backs that are our offense right now.
Yeah, and our run, like our O line blocking on running, is really good right now too. So,
yeah, yeah, like, it's like CEH's vision got a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But did it get better, or is it just because the O-line is really figuring out ways to create those holes for him?
Both. I think probably both a little bit. I also want to ask, so we saw Wanya Morris struggle a little bit again.
Yeah.
Do you think if we get Donovan Smith back, not per se this week, but for the playoffs, would you rather see him start?
The only reason why I would say yes is because he's a veteran. Wanya, even though... So my thing is, like, what do you expect from So I guess I can't ask this question. What do you expect from a rookie? And then you have people like Rashi Rice having a crazy rookie season, right? But the difference between Rashi Rice, receiver,
left tackle,
Morris, tackle, is Rashi technically played every game.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really start getting activated until the back half of the season. So where the game could be slowing down for Rashi, it's not necessarily for Wanya yet. Now, I do think that it's been a great challenge for him having to go against some of the teams that we have, because this back half of the season, a lot of the teams have been really good. So he definitely was able to kind of get his feet wet to understand what
the pass rusher is really.
Exactly. I mean, the Raiders D-line.
No,
nope. Will kill him, right? So I definitely want to see Donovan Smith. I think he needs to be out there just because
he's
a veteran. He's been here before. He understands what this time looks like.
He's won a Super Bowl. He understands the playoffs. Like, I think,
yeah. But I do think that Wanya could possibly go in to relieve him for some snaps if he has to let him get a breather and do whatever, especially on like the first downs and things.
Yeah.
Like that. So I'm totally fine if that happens, but we're paying Donovan Smith. Yeah. We need to see him in the playoffs. And because now he should be well rested.
Yeah.
Well rested. I don't want to see Patrick on the ground at all. I don't want to see him on the ground at all. So him and Juwan Taylor better figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely want to see him going into the playoffs. It's a smart thing. It's the right thing. So that's probably what needs to
happen. I think it's good to know too that if he or even I guess Juwan goes down, we do have a good backup tackle.
Exactly.
So that's
a fact. So yeah, I mean we'll just see from there. I don't really know like what else I have to say necessarily about the offense. I will say, like, yes, they got the ball down the field a lot better this week. They were able to get in the red zone 7 times. That is good.
And maybe that's Andy Reid just like not like, okay, this is my theory of the game.
It is Andy Reid.
I think Andy Reid being like, all right, our defense is dominating. We don't have to show any of our little fancy red zone plays. So let's just kick these field goals, win the game, and get through it.
Or does he not have faith that the offense can do it?
Maybe a mix of both.
Because, like,
I don't know.
Some of those plays, I'm like, they should be able to go score. And then some of them, I'm like, eh. But then it's like, oh, is that the play calling? But then it's like, if you're going to throw the ball, like, there's no reason we didn't get, like, a Noah Gray touchdown. or Justin watching the touchdown. Like those two, one of those two situations should have happened this week.
And I was rewatching the game today, and I was like trying to like figure out what the heck went wrong in our red zone. And it was just like the same thing every time. We were just like a hairpin short.
Which is why I don't understand why we won't go for it.
Right. Like you're running all these efficient plays. You're getting down the field.
If we had the old defense, I would be like, you know what? All right. Yeah. Kick the daggum field goal. Get the points. But I know we're getting ready to transition to the defensive conversation now. But it's like you've seen what they were doing. In the second half, they kicked it into an even higher level than they were in the first half. So it's like, come on, Andy. Like, it ain't no point in being so conservative. Like, this is the time where you let your offense build that confidence going into the playoffs. Like, this is where you do it. And then, so I guess I should also say this. The way this season has been going, even if they missed the fourth down attempt, we were going to be mad about it anyway. Whether they made it or missed it or kicked a field goal, the fan base is not that very happy right now. So regardless, if you would have confidence a little bit,
yeah,
it would have helped just somewhat. But let's get into the defense, because they had 6 total sacks. They were lights out. They were insane. George Karloftis was more with 10.5 sacks, which was great because we knew that 10th sack was coming. I thought it was going to come last week. It didn't. It came this week. That's okay.
So
1.5, yeah, 1.5 sacks this week. So, yeah, the stat sheet said he shared it with Amina Hill.
Correct.
Which is okay. So I mean, there's a lot of different things to talk about on this defense. Charles Amina Hill was all over. I feel like this was the first game I've seen him flying around all over.
He was stopping the run. He was catching their screenplays. Like he was.
Yeah, so if that's what playoff Charles Minihue is, sign me up for that. He was really freaking good. George Karloftis, I mean,
I'm so proud of him. We've just watched him flourish, and he's doing so well.
To be a year two guy, like I can't wait to see like what the playoffs look like for him.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing too, right? So when you think about this defense and you think about the amount of year two guys that were here last year and won a Super Bowl, and I know for a fact they're more hungry than this offense. They're like, yeah, we're going to go get another ring. Like, we're going to go get another ring.
They're like, we don't have anything else. So, yeah, let's go get another ring.
They're like, if y'all ain't going to do it, we going to do it. So, I mean, just to talk about the sacks, Justin Reed had 2 sacks.
He went off.
Woo! We already talked about George Karloftis, 1.5. Charles Amenihu, he had 0.5 a sack. Tershawn Wharton had the first sack. And then Chris Jones, he showed up and had a sack too. Someone tweeted me, well, X'd me.
He also had posted to you, tweet, whatever.
Can you say it's not Twitter? X'd me? I don't know. And they asked me if George Karloftis was the new leader of Sack Nation. And I was like, ooh. Spicy, but yeah,
for sure. I'll say Chris Jones did have a ton of pressures. I was like, when I was rewatching, he was there a lot. It was just that Jake Browning figured out how to get the freaking ball out pretty quick. But
yeah,
Jones there a lot. So he did
have 2 quarterback hits. He had 2 QB hits. So I mean, I'll take that. Again, the second half, I don't know what got into defense.
Wow, Also, can we talk about the little skirmish between Snead and Chase a few times?
Absolutely can't. So
I loved it.
I was like, okay, so I had to kind of go back and listen to Chase's clip after the game, and from what it sounded like, he was like, yeah, I started it, yeah, I was trying to get in his face and he wouldn't hit me back. He was like, I was trying to get him to fight me. And I'm like, oh, well, he was like, I had their whole defense mad, the whole defense was upset. And I'm like, no they weren't.
So annoying.
Secondly, I'm glad that Snead is smart and he realizes his value on this team, because what he could have done was stomp him in the ground. Like, come on. If Snead lost his mind, I guarantee you the rest of the secondary and half of the O-line would have also lost their mind and had his back, especially based off of everything that has happened with our year's history with the Bengals. Tuna in a can. So, okay, when you were, because we both were watching from home, when you looked at it originally, it looked like Chase punched him.
Yeah.
So I was like, is he going to get thrown out?
I
started cussing and yelling.
I was doing the same thing. I was like, oh my God. But so I rewatched it, and Snead, I think, started the crap talk a little bit. And then I think Chase kind of pushed him, and then Snead pushed back, and then Chase pushed back, and then Chase ran into the ref and like kind of grabbed his
shirt. Chase said he started it. He started choking him first. He said he tried to get under his skin. Yeah. Well, he thinks that he did get under his skin. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that just attests to how great L'Jarius Snead is. He is the best DB.
He allowed Chase like 200 yards or something.
Say it one more time.
I think he allowed Chase like two catches
for 3 for 41. 3 for 41. Okay. I just had to relook the stats up earlier to prove a point to somebody else.
Yeah.
But DeMar, and here's what's frustrating. Don't tell me that he was a game time decision and he's battling with a shoulder injury. I'm sorry. L'Jarius Snead was also a game time decision, battling a knee injury. Wasn't thinking.
Well, we didn't hear that throughout the game. We just hear about Chase and his injury, and we don't hear about Snead.
Exactly. So it's like, if we're going to go there, let's make sure we get all the facts straight. Yes. Was Jamar Chase hurt? Yes, he was. Should he have played? No, because I think if you're the best wide receiver on this team, why would you do something to harm yourself to possibly end your career, especially depending on how serious your separated shoulder injury was in the first place? Why would you put yourself in harm's way when you know if y'all lose, y'all are getting eliminated? So I think their medical staff is dumb for letting him play. Two, L'Jarius Snead's knee injury, no one even really knew about it. Like, I didn't know he left last week's game with an injury.
No, yeah, we would not have thought that.
It's until like, we've seen he wasn't
McKinnon's injury. Like, we didn't know McKinnon was injured till after.
Exactly. And so for Snead to, and my thing is, do I think Snead tweaked his knee? Yes. Do I think that they were just like, don't practice this week, we know you'll be straight? Like, we're playing like the number one corner in the NFL. Yeah. You don't got to practice this week. We know that you're going to be fine.
How so he did not practicing. He was insane. So,
yeah, exactly. So, if that's what we got to do, rest him every week. If he going to come out like that, I don't want to see L'Jarius Snead until the Super Bowl.
Let him do the mental reps and he's good to go.
Yes. But I think, you know, it's really important to just talk about the guys around Snead too. Trent McDuffie was really good. Justin Reed was really good. Jalen Watson he struggled. Joshua Williams struggled.
So I will say my only thing with Joshua Williams was actually if he didn't hold Boyd, or was it Boyd or Higgins? Whoever was on that play, if he didn't hold that person, they were going, it was a perfect throw and he would have caught it. It would have been a touchdown. So actually,
absolutely.
It ended up working out okay because we did get a stop and they scored a field goal instead. But so that was my only thing with Joshua Williams. Like in the moment, I was like, but then once I saw it play out and I was like, okay, that actually made sense why he did that. So
yeah. But I mean, the secondary has just been really good. They've been lights out all season. I think that, and I think the defense now is kind of like, all right, we've made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
We're here now.
Yeah.
It's really time to kick it into the next gear. And I'm really hoping the offense can kind of get on that same wavelength. Because, you know, the defense, they're having fun. They're kicking it. And you've seen them kind of at the end of the game, like, how much more fun they were having, especially everybody was eating. You get a sack, you get a sack, you get a sack. Like everybody was eating. Okay. So you can't
Did you see the video of Willie Gay today where he like told the camera person, he's like, we need to play swag surf. We need to play it.
Oh God. No. To go to Arrowhead and to see them swag surfing on the sidelines is how you know that like confidence is slowly starting to build. But again, that could slowly just be the defense. I don't know. I mean, the offense was, they were okay. They were okay. So, yeah. I mean,
that's all we need. Like if our offense can be serviceable like that and our defense plays like that, I think we can beat anyone.
Serviceable is crazy.
That's sad. No, it's true.
Like, can you just guys just do the bare minimum, please? Just no turnovers. And we still had a freaking turnover. I was like, all right, it's expected. Take Patrick Mahomes from one.
At least no interceptions. I was expecting an interception. I was like, I'm just accustomed to it now, I guess. And then he didn't have.
See, remember? Didn't I tell you like 3 weeks ago? I'm like, just expect at least 1 to 2 turnovers.
I had it. I was expecting.
You will feel better. You will feel better for sure. Was there anyone specific on the defensive line who you were just like, yes? Because I mean, Nick Bolton is a monster. As always.
You know who I want to give a little shout out to that doesn't get a lot of love is Mike Pinnell. He was out there hustling. Yes. He was hustling, man. He was like hustling to get to him. Like, I was like, oh, this is the effort I like to see.
But when he's on the field, like, I'm really glad that we brought him back, because when he's been on the field, that has been his energy the whole entire time. Yeah. And I mean, the dudes around him, they're feeding off of that too. Like, Willie Gay was really good this game too. Yeah. So, those guys were, and you know.
And you know who else had a big game was Leo Chenal as well. He did really well. He had a great game.
He did. And I don't remember yelling about Drew Tranquil.
Now, he
was quiet this week, but I mean.
My qualm with him is he only got 38% of snaps, which needs to change.
Where did the snaps go? I haven't seen the snap count.
Basically Nick Bolton.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm fine with that.
Drew was playing really well, so I just wish they would have given him more. However, I don't know. But
I'm fine with Nick Bolton having the most snaps there, which I still think that we figure out a way to bring Drew Tranquil back next year. He's just like the question with Wanya Morris, right? He's like a really great rotational piece that we know he's going to come in here. Yeah. And we don't have to worry about that position backsliding at all. Like, he's going to come in and pick right up where Nick Bolton left off. So that's like the one great thing about that. So what do we think the issue was with Willie and Aminahue on the sidelines? Jenna is asking us. Well, Chris, I know exactly what it was. Go ahead.
Chris spoke. They asked him after in the press conference. Mm-hmm. And he just said it was just like, it's just guys getting fired up. It's just someone was in the wrong spot at the wrong time or whatever. And it ended up in a touchdown. Yeah. And it ended up in a touchdown. And so I think they're both just frustrated.
But that's what I expect, right? When you have one of your dudes who's playing out of line, when you have a guy who's really, I mean, he messed up, right? And it caused the touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong at all with Charles Aminahue calling him out. I wish our offense would do that.
Same.
I wish our receivers would hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
Same. I wish the O-line would hold each other accountable. So am I ever going to get mad? And of course, yes, I'm sure energy was high.
Yeah.
They were having a really good game and they're like, dang it, we let them score a touchdown. Like, and we know that, like, we ain't shut nobody out all year, so it ain't happening this year. I'm never going to be upset with somebody holding somebody accountable on this team at all. So, exactly. Aminahue was holding them accountable. I agree. And that's what you need to do. That's why you're better at who you are. Like, iron sharpens iron. So, if I can't have a dude coach me or call me out or check me on something I did, then what are we doing to be better as a team? If you know they want to be this elite defense, they're going to call each other out.
If you can't take it, then you don't deserve to be like a Super Bowl caliber team, right? You got to be able to do that stuff and roll with it and learn from it and grow.
Well, and I feel like the offense used to do that. Like, when somebody was out of spot or somebody did something, they would call each other out on it, but then they would be like,
I think a big part of that was EB, and we don't have that right now.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about that a little bit?
I mean, yeah.
So I was watching something. I don't remember what I was watching on ESPN, but they were talking about that. They were like, you know, yes, Andy Reid is the play caller for this team. Yes, right? But, you know, and so what that means is Eric Bieniemy did not call the plays on this team, but you can still really tell that his presence is missed. And it's missed because of all of the small details. And I feel like we've said this several times already, right? Those small details, they're long gone. They are not in this room. They are not in the city of Kansas City. The details are gone. And you feel that all over the offense. You feel that with the receivers. You feel that with the running backs. I mean, even the detail of Isaiah Pacheco's helmet coming off consistently. EB ain't having that. He is not having that. No. Don't go back onto the field until your helmet's not going to come off your head again.
Right.
What are your thoughts about EBD missing? Because we feel it. And I think me and you finally accepted it like maybe 2 weeks ago. We were like, all right.
Finally.
We've been trying not to say this for weeks.
I've been trying not to, you know, because it is the play calling is Andy. But like you said, it's the small details that we're missing. And it's that strict, you know, Andy and Nagy just want to seem to be everyone's fun uncle and fun grandpa and fun whatever. And Andy, I think probably if you do mess up a bunch, I think he probably could be a pretty scary guy. He might not show that on the field, but I think in practice he probably does. But I think, like you said, Nagy, and then I still think Connor Embry is...
I don't want him back on this team next year.
No, I do not care for him at all. I'm sorry. I mean, you're probably a fine person, but as a wide receiver coach, I'm not here for it. So
lots of people are really nice.
Lots of people are great people. I'm sure you're a good person,
but... You gotta go. Like, if we were to start a survey right now of who needs to leave first, it starts with you, and I'm sure Matt Nagy is a close second.
I know.
Which is really sad.
I miss EB. I miss that that fieriness, and people had questions about it a few years ago, and all those blogs were being written about him, and it was like such a weird situation. And now it's like, okay, yeah, we needed that.
Washington doesn't deserve you.
No. And so, now there's rumors the Chargers might be after him for the head coach, and I'm like, oh
yeah, but I really our balls don't end up there from Michigan. I think James don't end up there. So I know we're not in the off season yet, and I refuse to really think about the off season, but how does the offense change from a standpoint of having that accountability and refining those details if EB is still not back next year? So, okay, you change the receiver coach. Okay. Matt Nagy is still in his role. Cool. Andy Reid is still doing the play calling. Great. Who is still holding these players accountable? Who's making sure the details aren't being missed? Who's calling them out on their SHIT when they do something wrong? Like,
well, there has to be someone. I mean, it's not a choice. It's not an option. Either you move Matt Nagy to a different something, a different role.
He's going to stay exactly where he is. And here's why. They're going to leave him where he is if they go out and get two or three more receivers in the offseason, because they're going to be like, we gave you receivers now, Matt Nagy. Go fix it and make them better. So he's going to get another shot at this OC role. I hate it, but he is. It's going
to
happen.
Does then, I mean, we all know what needs to change. We need different receivers. There's a few that I would keep that I'd be fine with keeping.
Yeah.
But there's a few that need to go. I feel like
everybody but Rashi Rice needs to go.
I feel like MBS, like, it doesn't have that hunger that he had last year.
I think he's been knowing for a while this is
and play hard. Harder if this is your, like, I don't get it. I mean,
some team will pick him up, like the Saints,
guess, but, or yeah.
The, you know what I mean, like the Saints or the Falcons or the Panthers, or somebody will pick up MVS. That's the crazy part about it.
Yeah.
He just needs to get out the AFC West. He's not good enough to be over there.
It's like, you have a chance to win another Super Bowl this year. Why would you not take advantage of that? Why would you not play hungrier? I just don't quite understand him. And I don't think it would be acceptable under a guy like EB. So we just need to find someone that you can bring in on this offensive staff. I mean, we brought in a guy like Joe Colan for the D-line. He's completely revamped the D-line. If we can find a guy like that for the wide receivers, like, please, I would welcome it. So I hope that happens, because we need it and it shows
real bad. Well, let's get into week 18.
Yeah.
Chiefs Chargers in LA. Do the starters play?
So this is where Chrissy had sent us a video, and for some reason my computer is being stubborn and not letting me upload it. But she was saying in her video that she wants to see our starters play. And this is where I thought things could get controversial. She wants to see them play and not let up. And she doesn't think they deserve a break because they haven't played consistently. and kind of stuff like that. So she wants to see the starters play at least till, I mean, what it should be is like a blowout, right? If we start the starters. So she's like, if it goes like that, then you can take them out after they've earned it. So I get that. And then I also get the side of, we do have an advantage to where we don't need to win this game. We're locked in at the 3 seed. So if you wanted to rest a few people, I think there's a few guys that have earned it, right? So I could see.
The whole entire defense has earned the rest.
Absolutely. Yeah, our defense should rest. There's guys like Chris Jones, where if he gets 0.5 more sacks and he gets $1 million bonus. So I feel like he might play. And he might just
Travis
play.
Kelsey only 16 yards.
They'll hit. And you know what? To make $1 million, he's going to work hard for that sack just to get it. And then he'll be done. Yeah.
Are you ready to hear my smart comment about Chris Jones?
I already know what you're going to say, but sure.
He could have played week one. He should have been had this daggum sack.
I know.
So I don't care. This is his fault. He should.
I'm saying he might have to play it if he wants to earn it. So.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he needs the money to make up for him missing the whole entire offseason. Yeah. Remember when you missed
it's almost
the
like
whole entire offseason?
It's almost like a little bit better.
OTAs, mini camp. I ain't forgot. Mini camp, OTAs, training camp. You weren't here.
You held our money hostage.
You weren't here. And a little $1 million ain't going to make that big of a difference for the amount of times you got. Because his funds were more than $1 million.
And I love Chris Jones. I think he's hilarious. I think he's a phenomenal player. I love Chris Jones, but he held our money freaking captive. He's the reason, a huge reason we don't have a wide receiver that we need.
I hope they see him the whole game. Oh. I hope he doesn't get out there.
Andy Reid being that guy, I think Andy Reid will be like, all right, go get your sack.
He's absolutely going to let him go out there and get his sack.
You know he is.
Okay. So I know Chrissy said that the offense doesn't deserve to have a rest.
Yeah. And well, and then we should say how there's guys like Travis, who's 16 yards away from 1,000 yards. So I could see him getting a snap designed for
how
that.
How many drops does Travis have this year?
Jody's like,
He should have also had
easily 1,000 yards.
Yeah. He should have had his 1,000 yards weeks ago. He should really be trending towards like 1,200 yard season.
Yeah.
Like Travis should have been. I am looking up something really quickly.
Maybe our starters just play the first half. I could see that happening.
No, I don't even want them to play that long. That's too long. So I want to comment on something really quickly.
That's how it goes, honestly.
I want to comment on something really quickly. And I noticed this like last night, right before I was getting ready to go to bed. And then I kind of like listened to a few different things on sports radio today, and they talked about it as well. And this also is my rebut towards Chrissy. Now, where I agree, they have not earned the right to be off because they have been looking a mess. My first thing I want to say is, if they go out there and they have a great game against the Chargers, is that really making you feel better? Because it's not making me feel better. It's the Chargers. They're not good. Everybody's hurt, sick, rested. So if it was maybe like, you know, the Bills or something like that, something that will actually get them like, then yeah. But the Chargers, no, that doesn't impress me at all. It doesn't impress me at all. And even though, no, we have not been good against bad teams.
Now, if it's like really, really dominant, would you feel better about it?
What do you mean?
Like if it was a really dominant performance from our offense against the Chargers, would you feel better about it?
No, because it's the Chargers. They have so many missing links and pieces right now. They don't have a head coach. Like, no, there is nothing that would make me feel better about that. I think they need rest.
In relation, like, okay, so like last year, our game against the Raiders, our final game, like, yeah, we did have to win that one to get the 1 seed. But I feel like the way they played it, it did make me feel good going into the playoffs because I was like, we are light years ahead of this team. Obviously is bad, but like we are really are light years ahead of them.
Yeah. So
I think in a way I can see why it wouldn't, but I can also see why, like, for me it might build my confidence a little bit if I just see them go out there and completely dominate and be like, okay, this team can go up against some of the better teams, considering, you know,
I mean, if we're gonna break it down, the offense has not looked bad. The receivers keep dropping the ball. So that's a difference. Like,
maybe this is good practice for them. They can catch some balls and find their confidence.
Every single receiver
should catch the ball. Great.
Literally every single receiver should play except Rashee Rice. Everybody else needs to have their butt on the field with the backup. What's his name? M-I-Z. Brady. Blaine Gabbert. Every receiver can go out there and catch reps with him. I don't want to see Patrick. I'm okay with Travis
sits. I'm really good if Patrick sits.
Travis looks tired every week. Travis needs to sit. When you look at the sideline, he looks like an old man.
I think we'll see. I think we'll see him just to get that catch.
We're 100% going to see him. And I don't want to see him because I don't want to do anything to risk injury on Travis Kelce playing on a turf field in L.A. against a team that we should beat.
Yeah.
Especially when he's – I don't know. I don't want to see him. Will we see him? Probably. I don't want to at all. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see Isaiah Pacheco. I'm fine with seeing CEH. Or I'm fine with seeing the backups, whoever's elevated now, P. Ryan. I wanted to comment, though, on something. So Mitch Holthus had a whole tangent last night on Twitter.
Oh, I got Mitch going off.
And Mitch never, ever chirps like this. But he was going off last night. So I kind of want to pull this up just really quickly and read it. And I'm just going to go quick. But long story short, what he was saying is I was going to wait until after a win. And so basically that told me that he's been holding in these feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And he's just like, no team has ever had to face a schedule like the Chiefs. In 2023, there were 5 consecutive opponents in December that had extra days to rest and prep from 10 to 14 days to 11 days, et cetera. I get the networks want their slots, but but this should have to be discussed going forward. And then he was talking about Warren Sapp. So basically what he's saying is, we understand that the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, and we always want to make sure that they're in a primetime slot. But it's not fair that their rest has to be jeopardized because the networks want to be able to pay their bills off watching the Chiefs play, when a lot of the opponents that they're going up against, they do get those extra long days or those bye weeks. So they are getting anywhere from 10 to 14 days worth of rest, and we're barely getting a week's worth of rest.
And I think we did talk about this a bit. I think we've talked about it a few times just on and off the season. Okay, like when we played the Patriots, they were coming off a Thursday night game. We played the Raiders the next week, they were coming off of a Thursday night game. We played the Bengals on Monday, they were coming off a Saturday game. We were coming off a Monday game, they were coming off a Saturday game, you know?
So, yeah. That's 2 extra days.
And every single week for the past few weeks, it's been, and I've noticed it, and I'm surprised no one's really brought it up, but I think it's because it's like, if you do bring it up, you're just told 1,000 times over to not complain because you're the Chiefs and blah, 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 whatever. And you guys should be able to handle it if you're the Chiefs, right? Well, I think that's
Mitch's. I mean, well, we technically have. We have 8 AFC West titles.
Right.
So I think that we have been handling it. But that doesn't mean that over the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, that doesn't wear down on your bodies. Like, these dudes aren't all rookies anymore. They are getting older, and they're out here every single week putting their bodies on the line too. And it's more than them getting those extra days to like rest and sit. That is bigger than that. It's game planning, it's travel. There's so many things that it's making the coaching staff have to figure out how to do these things differently or quickly, which could have some effects to how the play calling is too. Mm-hmm. Maybe the play calling isn't the way that we want it to be, because maybe we didn't have all the days to prepare like the other teams have had to prepare.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you think about it from like a big perspective, from not clearly I'm sleepy. But when you look at it from like a big perspective, it's more than just, do the dudes get rest? Are they okay? Do they feel rested up? There's a lot more that comes into play with that. So that would be why I would say I would like for them to have this week of rest. Now, I know that I could also argue that after the bye week, we've looked worse.
Happened.
Move. But I think that the offense needs rest. I think they just need to reset. clear their mind. The regular season was the regular season. It don't matter anymore. We are in the playoffs. Everybody is 0-0.
I'm kind of in the middle on it. I want to say I trust one thing about Andy Reid that I love is I really trust his decision making with like time management and player management. He's not going to put anyone in a bad situation.
Because MVS show had a lot of snaps last week.
No, not with that. I'm talking about like injury wise. And yeah, but like injury wise, I really trust his decision making. And let's say our starters are in and like someone gets hurt or close to getting hurt. I think he's going to take him out. He's not going to like risk anything like that.
For sure.
And then, but I mean, you can compare that to Mike McDaniel over in Miami and their game. He kept his starters in when they were getting killed 50, whatever to like 19. He kept Bradley Chubb in, one of their best pass rushers, till the end of the game. That dude was tired and he ended up tearing his ACL and he's out.
Yeah, that's rough.
Now, however long into the next season. So
they had a lot of injuries. Waddle got hurt. Tyreek Hill was struggling.
Stuff like that. I know Andy Reid is not going to be dumb like that. So even if our starters if things are close, like he's not going to.
Well, and our medical staff is not going to be like, yeah, he's okay to go back out there and play. So I mean, like,
exactly.
There's a lot of things that kind of come into play with that. But let's go ahead and kind of get into the playoff scenarios. There's a lot of things happening in week 18. I mean, there's still, I believe I read a stat earlier that said like there's still 20 teams in playoff contention to possibly be in the playoffs, which
crazy is
nuts. They said this is the first, and don't quote me on this, but I feel like they said this is the first time this has happened since like the 80s or something insane.
Oh wow. I didn't know.
Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness, that there's still so many teams available to possibly be in.
There's so many different scenarios and ways things can play out. Yeah.
Not interested. So one, I think the biggest thing is we hope Buffalo loses. Okay, so before we get into everybody else's business, let's talk about the Chiefs. So we're currently sitting at 3 seed. And we're currently waiting on the AFC East to figure out what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
So depending on who wins that division, whether it's the Dolphins or the Bills, we're going to probably play both of them, right? It's just a matter of who we play first.
There's so many teams that can go, unfortunately.
But see, the thing is say the Dolphins win the division and the Bills end up in second, and then we would have to play the Bills first. Right. Yeah. We would end up playing the Bills first. But then if the Bills end up in second place, I'm sorry, the Dolphins, which I think the Bills might win that division.
I know.
I don't know. I think the Bills are going to win that division. And that's our fault because we should have beat them when we had the chance to. Because they should not even be in the freaking playoffs. I know you wanted to.
Well, I know. There's a lot to talk about. But basically, it starts with the Steelers at the Ravens this weekend. So my first thought with that, and that's on Saturday afternoon. So it's a lone.
Did you see who the refereeing crew is?
Oh, yeah. Lovely Brett Allen from Controversial last week with the
Lions Cowboys.
Lions. I can't tell.
Yeah. So if y'all haven't looked, the referees for this Ravens game this weekend are the same ones that just did the Lions Cowboys game and had the huge missed call.
Godspeed.
And I'm like, oh my Lord. And I spoke to a few Ravens fans and they were like, thank God we already clinched the one seed.
Right.
They were like, we're so glad that we already clinched it going into this game because who knows what the heck
what's going to happen.
Why do they still have jobs? Anyway, that's another conversation.
But I don't know. I do know they're not going to be allowed to ref in the playoffs. So that's a good thing.
They should have gave them like the Panthers game this weekend,
right? Or Jets Patriots or something.
Yeah,
but they didn't. So it is interesting because the Ravens have secured the one seed. Now the Ravens did that in 2019 and rested all of their starters in week 18, and then they came out and did terrible and lost to the Titans back in 2019. Lost in the first round. So you also have a game where the Steelers, if they win, they will be in the playoffs, right? So
what the Ravens, Tomlin is gonna do?
So
one thing Mike Tomlin is going to do is keep that team over 500.
I know.
Oh, I love Mike Tomlin so much.
So funny.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's so good. He's really a great coach. But yeah. It makes me wonder, do the Ravens play their starters then? Like, are you going to let the Steelers walk into the playoffs? If you don't play your starters, they will probably win because they're playing hard to get in the playoffs, right?
But I feel like the Ravens are really good all around.
But the Steelers are going to be playing really hard to get in the playoffs. Or the Ravens are there.
I think the Ravens are a good enough team to where if they set a lot of their main starters, they could still go win, especially with their defense.
And now I do agree, but I also want to say this too, is like, if you're the Ravens, would you rather see the Steelers or the Bills in the playoffs? Because it could come down to that, right? So then do you say, okay, we'd rather see the Steelers?
They would probably rather play the Steelers, for exactly. sure. Yeah. Exactly.
So I'm like, do you kind of let them
regardless, win? The game is going to be in at the bank. So whatever happens, they're going to. But the Ravens can beat the Bills. I have no doubt in my mind that the Ravens.
They'd probably rather see the Steelers than the Bills.
Exactly. Imagine. Just like we would rather see the Dolphins.
Exactly.
than the Bills. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah. I mean, in reality, this Chiefs team can beat the Bills right now in the playoffs, right?
I do think so, yes. I mean, if you watch the Bills the last 2 weeks, they barely beat the Chargers. They barely beat the Patriots last week. Josh Allen had like 90 throwing yards last week against the Patriots.
I know, but it's us. It's the Chiefs.
I know. We're going to get everyone's best shot no matter what because everyone wants us dead. Like, everyone does not want to make it to the Super Bowl. It's going to be really, really hard to make it to the Super Bowl. Like, really, really hard, especially with how we're playing.
What was the next scenario you have?
So then, okay. So I think it's like, this is where it gets confusing.
Yeah, right. If it's not us, if it's not the Ravens, if it's not the Dolphins, the Bills, I don't care at all about the NFC.
No. It's not about the NFC at all. It's more so, okay. So if Buffalo wins, we will get Miami no matter what.
Correct.
Just because of how the seeds are. Because if Buffalo wins, they would have beaten Miami twice. They beat us, so that's a tiebreaker.
Correct.
They win the division. So it really comes down, and that's, of course, Sunday night, so we're not going to know till the very end who gets that
one. I will hopefully be sleeping.
But then you have, like, you also have all these teams in the AFC South that are, like, Jacksonville, Houston, and Indianapolis, who are all.
I would love to see.
Right there, 9-7.
All I know is I don't want to see the Colts. I am still like very much. No, I do not want to see the Colts.
No.
Yeah. It would be cool to see the Texans get in it, but. And CJ Stroud, he came back last week and had a great game.
Right.
So.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Steelers, but there's just a lot of different scenarios. It just depends on who wins. Like, if Miami, Jacksonville, and the Colts win, then we'll see the Colts.
Yeah, and they're all playing for the seventh seed, which is
nice.
Luckily, we don't have to battle with whoever that is yet.
Well,
I don't know.
The first round right now, we're set to face Buffalo, but if...
I'm ready for week 18 to be over with so I can look at the final predict. We do this every year, y'all. Do this every year. Okay, here are all the playoff scenarios with our Excel sheet and with our arrow. And it gives me anxiety.
But I know there's too many things that can happen.
I'm ready to see the final like layout so I can say which games I think are going to be upset games because I 100% think there's going to be a few upsets in the AFC. Yeah. I definitely think there's going to be some upsets. The Colts are decent. Mm-hmm. The Texans have a really good defense. I don't think the Steelers are going to make it anywhere. I don't have any.
I think that's why everyone wants to see them is because.
I don't think Jacksonville is going to make it anywhere. I think Jacksonville is cooked and they just need to go ahead and go home.
Tennessee, I agree.
Nothing.
Right now, we will play the sixth seed, so it's going to be...
It's either going to be the Bills or the Dolphins.
Now, It can definitely be the Dolphins, but it won't be the Bills if the Steelers win, I think.
I don't know.
But now that's only if they lose. So it's either the Bills. Bills pretty much have to win because they're either going to be the second seed, or if any of those other teams wins, then they can be out. So it's almost like win.
Oh, yeah. If Buffalo loses and Jacksonville and Pittsburgh win, then Buffalo is out.
Yeah.
I don't see Jacksonville winning, though. Who does Jacksonville play this week?
Well, they play the Titans, and the Titans are out.
No, oh, the Titans could ruin their day.
They could.
I could see that.
I know. So
who do the Steelers play this week?
The Ravens.
Oh, well, they're not.
That's the one we're wondering, because the Ravens could sit there.
The Ravens are not going to lose this week.
They could. I don't know. They absolutely could.
If you or Chrissy, one of y'all, I can't remember, one of y'all tweeted and was like, how the heck did the Ravens get the early slot for the Saturday game? But you got to remember, we've had that slot too.
Now, I know that, but I remember
going to Arrowhead early on a Saturday, like, this is nice.
Yes, but we didn't have the one seed locked up at that point. The Ravens have the one seed locked up. That's the difference. And the NFL still gave them that game. That's my qualm with it.
Are you sure we didn't have the one?
Yes.
Are you sure?
At least last year, a few years ago, I don't remember.
We've had that Saturday slot more than once. That's my point. We've had that Saturday.
We haven't had the one seat every year. We've had different seats.
No, we haven't. But we've had the Saturday 4:30 slot more than one time.
We've also had that for playoffs, though, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because every time it's a playoff game early, it's a blizzard in Kansas City, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm getting the Arrowhead.
More so, my point with that was that they gave it to the Ravens knowing they have the one seed locked up.
But
that was my only thing with it. However, they could play some of their starters, and then it's not, then it doesn't matter that they have that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
And I don't think they're going to play.
Anyway, they have the one seed and they're secure, so it doesn't really matter what they do on Saturday, but it does for the Steelers, and that's why I think the Steelers could win.
I will say, though, I know we don't care about the NFC.
At least we're not playing the Chargers and, like, they're fighting for playoffs or something, you know?
Yeah. And usually that's our situation, too. Every year, the team we're playing, they're not eliminated yet. They're trying to make their way to a playoff berth. I will say, though, about the NFC East, it is – I'm not – they haven't clinched a winner yet. Oh, yeah, they did. The Cowboys.
No,
they haven't clinched a winner yet.
They both need to win this weekend, but if the Cowboys win, which they will, they'll have it.
Who do they play?
Commanders.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They will.
So they'll win.
Which, it is so funny to see, like, how the Eagles have just looked almost as bad as we have. I don't think we've looked as bad as the Eagles.
They've actually looked worse. They just somehow.
Yeah, to be 11-5, I don't think we've looked as bad as them. Our issue is our receivers. Like, at the end of the day, no matter everything that the Chiefs are going through, our receivers are the main issue to why life is not life in the way that it should be. Anyway.
You know, this is hilarious, too, just real quick, is that the power rankings for the NFL, a lot of, like.
And we're back to 10. I saw that.
I'm like, how did we just win and we went down?
So I've seen a power ranking.
Eagles lost and they went up or stayed above us. I'm like, they just thought, huh? They don't look better than us.
I've seen a power ranking that had us like at 12 last
year. The Bills at number 3 when they barely beat the Chargers and the Patriots. Like, what? Huh?
You can't take any of that stuff seriously.
I mean, I just like.
I'm saying though, my hot take is, I said this last week too. If we win this playoff game, if we win wild card weekend, we're going to the Super Bowl. That's it.
That's what you said.
That's where I'm at. If we win wild card weekend at Arrowhead, they took my money out of my account already as soon as we won. And it was hats and t-shirts that was like, swipe. The money came out of my account already. If we win wild card weekend, we're going to the Super Bowl. Because I think we'll be 1-0. I think something's just going to click.
I think
Travis. The other receivers, no. But Patrick and Travis, like all of the people who are two-time Super Bowl champions.
Come on, Rush.
Like, you know what? Y'all, we this close. Next, you got some nail glue, Lexi. I broke my nail. I broke my nail as I was getting off.
Oh, man. I always have nail glue.
I know. But no, I think that if we can win wild card weekend, then we'll be good. I think something's going to click. I already think the defense is just going to be like super high.
Exactly.
And then I think the offense.
You're going to get a big reason for it.
I think the offense just figures it out and Pat just continues to put this offense on his back. And maybe Travis will put some icy hot on his back and put the team on there too. And then they just figure out a way to win.
So, yeah. Really, I mean, in an ideal world, we need the Steelers to win on Saturday.
Yeah.
Love for like the Colts or, I mean, because to be honest with you, I'd rather play the Colts than the Bills.
I don't want to see the Colts.
Then you better be the biggest Steelers fan ever.
I think we can beat the Bills. Like, we shouldn't have lost to them the other day.
Well, I know. We shouldn't have lost like most of these people we lost to.
We shouldn't have lost to the Bills. And you know what?
We shouldn't have lost to the Eagles.
I would not hate going to Orchard Park and winning in the play.
That'd be kind of fun.
You know how teams always say, people play us like it's their Super Bowl. Yeah. Going to Orchard Park and winning a playoff game would be like the amount of trolling that I would do.
Oh, yeah.
It would like pick up from the Super Bowl. Like, I feel like I haven't been able to troll for like 12 weeks.
And we haven't.
It's really sad and it's all bottom inside ready to come out. I would probably lose it and then be like, okay, let me go back and sit down and shut up because we got another game.
Yeah.
Because we got another game. But, yeah.
Unless it like, yeah, there's just so many ways this can play out. I'm so excited to see how it goes.
Yeah. I don't have a score prediction. We better win.
Yeah. What if Ravens don't?
What if they lose? They did it before. The Ravens have lost before.
What if it's another AFC home championship game?
I just remember being at the stadium at Arrowhead during the game when the Ravens lost. And the stadium where we went. I think we like, because our game was ending too. And I'm pretty sure like the concession stands and everything were closed. We were like,
same.
No, we're going to the bar. Open bar. Yeah, it was. Arrowhead went crazy
for sure. That's why it would also surprise
me. Very high possibility. Yeah.
There's just a lot that can happen, so I can't wait to see how it plays out. But yeah, and I don't have a score prediction. Just win. It should be like
just win. Dang it
should be like 70-0, but you know it'll be like 10-20 or something.
Blaine Gabbert, baby. I am liable to take a nap during this game.
We'll see how it goes.
I have no expectations for these backups. So we'll see how that goes.
Much. I do want to see how FAU does. I hope he gets some good play time.
He should be good. Are you going to get to the sponsor? I don't have any kin.
I don't either. I'm sick, y'all. I apologize. So thanks for putting up with my sick, tired voice. But Kin Seltzer. We love Kin Seltzer. I would be drinking some if I wasn't sick. So next week, hopefully.
I'm out.
No, oh, you're out. She's out. I'm sick, so it's okay. But we love Kin Seltzer. It is the first Black-owned seltzer in the nation, actually, but it's made locally here in Kansas City, which is so freaking cool. And Josh, who owns Kin Seltzer, who started it all, is working on a new flavor that will be released in a few weeks here. So we'll be.
Like really soon. The playoffs are in 2 weeks.
So really soon. So I can't wait for that. I can't wait to try it. And I can't wait to share it with you guys. And we'll be doing some more giveaways when that happens. So
we'll probably do a giveaway really soon going into the playoffs as well.
Probably next week, honestly.
Yeah, we'll probably do two giveaways. We just got to figure out what we want the giveaway to be. But we'll definitely do probably like two giveaways going into the playoffs.
But just follow our Twitter page closely and look out for that. We'll
follow Kin Seltzer if you're not following them.
Yeah, follow at Kin Seltzer on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. So do I get to play Chrissy today?
You do.
I'm going to do my best Chrissy impersonation. I don't want to pick up the mic and sing, though.
What song do you have?
Well, Chrissy's at Disney and she left me and Lexi in the cold.
Rude.
She better bring me back mini ears. Right. I need to text her and tell her that. But thank y'all for tapping in with us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We will be back next week. And next week, luckily, we should know what is going on.
We will. I can't wait.
We'll have low-key, next week's show just might be all playoff talk. Like,
it will. I can't wait. It's going to be so good.
Nothing else is going to even matter.
This is the week we've been waiting for all season long. I cannot wait to see how it plays out.
I feel like the season just started, though, like 5 minutes ago. It did. So to already be approaching week 18 is really sad.
It is really sad.
But I'm also kind of like in this season.
Yeah.
So I'm like, end it. But it's really sad that it came up super, super fast as quickly as it did. So thank y'all for tapping in with us. If you have not already, please make sure you like, follow, and subscribe on all of our platforms, mainly YouTube, Twitter, X, whatever, Instagram, Apple, Spotify. You can always catch all of our shows on there if you just can't get enough of the queen. And make sure you're following us all on Twitter, X, dang it, at Lexi Osborne, at Ish Jody Newsom, at Chrissy,
Steiny Rum Diddy.
That. I'm like, nope, that's not it.
I don't know. Anyway.
Oh. Anyway, thank y'all for tapping in with us. We love y'all.
Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.